Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by Baylife Church, Port Stephens. We hope you find this message challenges and inspires you in your daily Christian walk. For more information, visit www.baylifechurch.org.au.
Okay, this morning, we're continuing on in our identity theft series. I'll just check with Chris to make sure he's preaching next week, see if he's got an identity theft message to add to this series, which he has. So this is the fourth one in the series. The first one, talking about lies. And the first lie was, we have to be strong. The second lie was, I am just the way I am. I knew it was something like that. I am what I do was the one Robin brought last week. And this morning, we're doing something that actually fits really well in with what Dave McKinnon bought. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. And I don't know about you, but sometimes in life we just feel we're not good enough. You know, and this is a lie. The enemy uses that lie in our lives. And I don't know if it's affected you, but I'm sure there's many times I can think it's affected me. You know, as a parent, I'm not a good enough dad. I can't do enough. I can't be there enough for them. No matter how hard I try, it just doesn't seem to work. I could have done better. You know, maybe I'm not a good enough husband. You know, I'm not there for my wife when she needs me sometimes, and it just isn't good enough. And one of the areas that obviously the enemy loves to get in is in. For me, it's in ministry. You know, it's like I just don't feel like I'm good enough. You know what's going on? I just can't do enough. I can't work hard enough. I can't seem to do enough. Because there'll be always someone that I've not pastored well, or I've said something that I shouldn't have said, or that I haven't said something that I should have said, or done something that I should have done. I hadn't done something I should have done. And basically, you never feel like you're good enough. And I remember in the early days in our Christian walk, and I remember when Mark Zaire came to me and asked me to come on staff as a pastor at the church. And there's a whole backstory to that I won't go into. I was in business. And I just thought, man, surely there are so many more people in this church that are more qualified, better positioned, more knowledgeable, more experienced than me. Like, what are you asking me for, you know? And so, you know, there's a whole process in that. Anyway, the day that it was announced to the church, I was thinking, oh, I don't know if this is a good idea or not. But anyway, trying to follow God in it. And I remember the day it was announced to the church, and, you know, and there was a bit of cheering and clapping and stuff. I went, oh, maybe people do think it's a good idea. And anyway, you know, didn't last for long. I went out to the car park and a guy came out to me. And I'm sure he thought he was bringing encouragement. And I'm sure he thought that was some sort of encouragement. And these are his actual words, because they're burnt in my soul, in my brain, you know. And he said this: I don't care what everybody else says. I think you'll do okay. And it was like, it reinforced everything that I'd ever thought, or my insecurities, and I thought, I can't do it, I'm not good enough, and that little voice that tormented me for years. So your best isn't good enough, Greg. You're just not good enough. No matter how hard you try, you'll never be good enough. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but there's so many, much evidence in there's so many heroes of the faith in the Bible that actually have even felt that way. And one particular we're going to look at this morning is Moses from the Old Testament. And before we look into his story, I just want to review that key thought for this series. And it's this key is, a lie believed as truth will affect you as if it were true. A lie believed as truth will actually affect you as if it were true. And that's the enemy's great, great strategy. To get us to believe the lie. He's the father of lies. That's what the Bible calls him. Father of lies. He tries to convince us of something that's not true, if we believe it, we'll actually act like it is true. And it screws us up so often in life. See, Moses was just like this. In Exodus 4, we're going to look at this morning. God himself, after he did all these amazing miracles, talking out of the fire and the staff, turned the staff into a snake, and just there's so many leprous hand for Moses, so many things he did. God himself called Moses to deliver God's people from bondage. And Moses just responds just the way we can sometimes feel. See, God, in Moses here in, I think it's verse 10, says, "Oh God, I'll never be eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant." What does he say? I'm slow of speech and tongue. I'm slow of speech and tongue. In other words, don't put me in front of people. I freak out. I freeze. I'm getting nervous. I'm not a good public speaker. I'm not a good leader. You know, there must be other people out there. God, look, there's a million people there. Come on, choose someone else. Don't choose me. In other words, God, I'm not good enough. And so many of us, we believe this lie and it affects us as if that lie were truth in our life, and we respond in our life that way. There's a couple of ways I've seen where we base our worth in a wrong place. The first one's this one, what other people say about us. And it's such a stronghold, it really is. And it's because it taps into the way we're designed. You know, each one of us wants people to like us, right? I don't think there's anyone here who says, "Oh no, I don't want anyone to like me." You know, it just doesn't. It's not part of the way we're wired, and so that taps into the lie that we're not good enough based on what other people say about us. And some of you grew up in a home where there's a lot of encouragement and you felt good about yourself, and that's awesome. Others of you though grew up hearing things like, "You're stupid, you'll never make it, you're an idiot, you're no good, you're pathetic, you're not as good as your brother, you're not as good as your sister, why don't you do more?" And eventually, that lie becomes truth. It just keeps getting reinforced and reinforced and reinforced. And you sometimes start thinking, maybe I'm not good. Maybe I'm not that good. You know, I wish I never had you. Those sorts of things are just, they cut. And you know, maybe someone told you, "Look, if you lost a few kilos, you'd be really pretty or really handsome." And from that point forward, you believe the lie that you're fat. I actually heard a guy just recently say that. He said, "Even though I've lost all this weight, I still think of myself as fat." And he said, "I carry myself like I'm fat." And he's not anymore. He's now really skinny, but he actually thinks of himself as fat. And the label stuck, and he's believing a lie based on what probably, I don't know, his parents or his friends or whoever it was told him. And if you're like me, sometimes someone says something good and you feel really good about yourself, and then next thing, someone's giving you a hard time and you get really down on yourself. "I'm the biggest loser ever, seriously." And we base our self-worth on what other people say about us. And it's a horrible thing, but it's so common, so common. The second lie that I thought about was this, that our worth is based on our past experiences. That's what happened to us in our past, we base our self-worth on. For instance, you might have grown up in a challenging family situation, family of origin, and it was a tough thing, and you say, "Well, I'll never amount to anything. We didn't have a lot, so I'm not going to have a lot in my life, you know. I wasn't great at school," and you just believe that you're average. "I'm just average, you know, and I'm going to be average the rest of my life." And maybe you have a dream of a magnificent marriage, you know, a fantastic marriage, and you wanted it so much to be a great marriage. And one day, somehow, you end up divorced. And that thing that you wanted somehow fell in a heap. And you feel like you're just walking around with either a big loser sign on your forehead or a big D saying, "I'm divorced." And you feel like you've let yourself down. You feel like you've let God down. You feel like I'm a failure, you know. And the enemy loves that stuff. He says, see, it proves that you're just not that good. You're not good enough. You know, for some, you know, horrible, horrible thought, but some victims of abuse, you know, whether it's physical or emotional or psychological, whatever it is, you know, they believe the lie. They have the physical pain often and the emotional pain, but they actually believe that lie that I did something wrong to cause this, that I caused this. And they live with that lie very often until someone can help them move that lie on. You know, if I had been better, this wouldn't have happened to me. And what's wrong with me? Why did I deserve this? And full of shame and guilt. And I'm just not worthy to be loved. And it's a horrible, horrible lie. And often wrongly base our worth on our past. On our past. I just can't forgive myself for what I did in the past. And you see, Moses battled with this in his life. Because he had been a prince, grown up in the king's house, in the Pharaoh's house, and basically murdered two people, you know, and basically he ran from there, and this is 40 years later, and then God's come to him out of the burning fire and says this in chapter 4, verse 11 and 13. The Lord said to Moses, okay, who gave man his mouth? Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? You see, after all that, anyway, God goes on. Now go, Moses, I will help you speak and teach you what to say. And you think, man, after all those miracles and all that stuff, you think, okay, Moses, you'd have to get it by now, you know, surely. Go on, let's just do it. In verse 13, but Moses said, oh Lord, help me out here. He says, please send someone else. Don't send me. Please send someone else. I can't do it. And if you read between the lines, it's basically saying, God, you don't get it. I'm not good enough. I've stuffed up in the past, and I'll probably stuff up again. I'm not eloquent of speech. I can't talk. I'm not a good leader. I've made too many mistakes. I've been in the desert for too long. And we end up with some dangerous conclusions about our life like this. And this is the enemy loves breathing on this. Since I'm not good enough, I can't make a difference. Why should I even try? Why should I even try? I'm always average. I always fail at everything. I'm not good looking. People don't follow me. I'm not talented enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not well built enough. Whatever it is, I'm really not worthy to be loved. So why should I bother? I'm simply not good enough. I want to stop right now, right here, right now, and say, you are good enough. You are good enough. And we are not the sum total of what others say about us. We're not the sum total of what our past experiences are. You are who God says you are. You are who God says you are. That's why we need to know what God's word says about us. We need to get it into our heads, into our hearts, into our spirit. So we can actually quote this stuff, that we actually know it, that we know that we know that we know. Not just, oh yeah, I think there's a scripture somewhere that says something like, I guess that's okay. But really, we need to know the word of God. You are not the opinion of others. You are not what happened to you in your past. You are who God says you are. And whenever that lie comes up, you're not good enough, you're inadequate, we've got to do this, we've got to replace it with the truth. The word of God, and that's the bottom line. For us as Christ followers, when we come to Christ, our old nature dies. Okay, it's gone. And you have a new heart, a new spirit, you're a new creation. It means you're spiritually new. And that's done. But it doesn't mean those old memories just go away. They stay with us. We keep playing that same old tape, that same old recording. And often we're still haunted by that. And it runs in our mind. And that's why we need to capture those lies, capture those lies, and let God's truth renew our minds so that we believe what God says about us, not what someone else says about us, or what the enemy says about us, or what we've done in the past, and that keeps replaying in our mind. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done in the past. God does. And he forgives you for it. He died for you. Put your name in there. And he believes in you. You just got to believe in yourself. You see, as Christians, it's really important we recognize this and then do something about it. What does God say about you? Three simple, important thoughts here this morning. First one's this. God says you are called by Christ. Called by Christ. The Son of God, the living Christ, is calling you. Excuse me. One Peter 5:10. It is in God's kindness that God called you to his eternal glory. It's God's kindness. He called you. And how did he do it? By means of Jesus Christ. See, we are called by Christ. Each one of us is called by Christ. I read this quote this week, and it went like this. Comparison will consistently cloud the clarity of God's call on your life. Comparison will consistently cloud the clarity of God's call on your life. How often do we compare ourselves and our calling to others? And then because it's not the same as theirs, we dismiss or denigrate our own calling, saying it's unimportant because it's not the same as that. God make us unique, uniquely. He made you the way you are on purpose. It wasn't a fluke. There's no trick to this. There's no heavenly trick. No. He's made you the way you are for a purpose. Specifically, uniquely to be you. And we have to be the best us that we can be. You see, he formed us in our mother's womb. He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He knew you then. He knows you now. He brought you into this world for a significant purpose. And maybe you don't know the full expanse of that. Many of us don't. Most of us don't, to be truthful. We've just got to follow it with all our hearts. You know, there's a great story, and I'm running out of time quickly here this morning, but in the 11th century, King Henry III of Bavaria grew tired of being a monarch, you know, of court life and the pressures and everything. And so he made an application to Friar Richard at a local monastery, asking to be accepted as a member and abdicate and spend the rest of his life in the monastery. And this is what the friar said to him, "Your Majesty, do you understand that a pledge here is to be one of obedience? That will be really hard for you because you're a king." And Henry said, "Yes, I understand. The rest of my life I'll be obedient to you as Christ leads you." And this is what the friar returned with. "Then I'll tell you what to do. Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you." He did that in obedience. And when he died, this was written about him. The king learned to rule by being obedient. You see, when we tire of our roles and responsibilities, it helps remember God has planted us in a certain place for a certain reason to be good teachers, good accountants, good fathers, good mothers, good parents, good whatever. God expects us to be faithful where he has put us, and when he returns, we'll rule together with him. And life won't be rosy every step of the way. There'll be difficulties, there'll be challenges, there'll be things that will knock us down sometimes. But God has purposed you for a specific reason right now. Right, there's no coincidences in God. I'm telling you that. He uses everything to build his kingdom if we line ourselves up with his will. So the Son of the living God, Christ himself, the anointed one, saved the world, is calling you and me. And the little voice says, "You're not good enough. I'm not making a difference. I'm not doing it as well as somebody else." I know. I've lived that. I know exactly what that comparison thing knocks us out every time. You are so incredibly special that Jesus has you on his mind right now, and he's calling you. How many of you might be tired right now? You might be weary. You might be worn out. You just be honest. Just think about it. There's too much going on. Well, guess what Jesus says? He says, come to me. Come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden and burdened and worn out and had it and knackered and whatever other way we can throw at it, come to me. There's more yet in your life. I don't care where you are in your life. There's more for you and for me in our lives. You know, I'm thirsty for something more. Well, good. Jesus says, I'm the living water. Taste and see what I can offer you, and you'll never be thirsty again. Are you hungry for something different? Well, good. Jesus said, I'm the bread of the life. And I'll meet that hunger like you've never understood. Maybe you're lost and wandering through life and you can't find your way. Jesus says, well, I am the way. I am the way. Maybe you're believing lies about yourself. Well, Jesus says, I am the truth. Maybe you feel like there's death in your life on the inside. Jesus says, I am the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. And he is the one who is calling you. You know, here's the thing. You're getting a spiritual text message right now. And Jesus is saying, I love you, I value, I treasure you. Follow me. Please, follow me. Who are you in God's eyes? 1 Peter 2:9. You are chosen by God, a chosen people. You are his very own possession. Why is that? So this is so you can show others the goodness of God. He called you out of what? Out of darkness into his wonderful light. No, you're not good enough. You don't understand. Jesus is calling you right now. God says you're called by Christ. That's the first point. Second point, really quickly now. You're also capable through Christ. Called by Christ, capable through Christ. I'll give you a couple of scriptures on that. Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Christ. You are capable through Christ who gives you strength. Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors. How are we more than conquerors? We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. We are more than conquerors through Christ. We are able to do everything through Christ. We are capable through Christ. You see, the greatest goal of our enemy is to talk you out of all that God has got for you. You're not good enough. Your best isn't going to get it done. It's not going to happen. Why are you even trying? Give up. You might as well give up. Come on, give up. No. You are capable through Christ. You know, there was probably a time 7 or 8 years ago, I wanted to quit. I'd had enough. I had a gutful. I wasn't good enough. I couldn't make it happen. We bought this property personally for the church, and we were stuck. We were meeting in that little hall next door. Our it caused a bit of division in the church, buying the property, and some people, you know, left the church, and our finances were doing it tough. We weren't growing. We're stuck in the little hall. We couldn't afford to do anything, to build anything new. And I thought, I'm done. I can't do any more. I've said everything I could say. I've done everything I can do. I've given it all. And now we're going to have to go back and work to pay the mortgage on the property. That was where we were at. Rob and I were both looking for jobs because we thought, we're not going to be able to survive. You know, we have to pay the mortgage on this property for the church. And I didn't have what I thought to take us to the next level as a church. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. And I so wanted to build this auditorium, you know, to set us up well for the future. But I just wasn't good enough. I couldn't do it. To raise money, to engage you. You know, I thought people would be excited about the idea of buying this property and having our own home. And it did the opposite. You know, I think, man, I've really missed it. Anyway, I was had it. And I sought out some wise counsel and a pastor friend I really admire from the Central Coast. asked me when our last holiday was. What's that got to do with this? Like, seriously, mate. And I couldn't even remember the last holiday I had. We used to take weeks at a time and maybe mostly did not miss Sundays. So we're here, you know, very, very often. And I thought, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. What are you talking about holidays for? I'm talking about all the problems in the church and me, and I'm going to resign. And he's talking about having a holiday. Anyway, it didn't make any sense at all, but we took 4 weeks holiday. And if you're around at that stage, you might remember. It's the first 4 weeks holiday we'd had for, I can't even remember, 20 years maybe, you know. And although it didn't fix anything immediately, when we came back, I felt like we had the strength to rebut the enemy's advances a little bit. You know, that I started to see the lie that the enemy had been feeding me, that I wasn't good enough. And not that I actually thought I was good enough, by the way. Here's the deal. The enemy was right this time, truthfully. And there was nothing in me that was really good enough to do what God wanted me to do. While I was striving and stressing and planning and pushing and cajoling and shoving, people couldn't see Christ through me. I want you to get this morning. It's only when I was surrendered to God, when I got over myself and over my own desires, I guess, in some way. No, not desires. My own thoughts, was right then things started to get sorted out. And you go, are you kidding me? I just killed myself, you know, for how many years it was, 7 or 8 years, and we bought this property, and God, I'm doing everything I can. But here's the deal. God gets the glory in that. It's not, man doesn't get the glory. God gets the glory in that. Christ through me. I can't do it. That's true. But Christ through me can. Christ through me can. And so many people try to do things in their own strength. Maybe marriage, family, you know, ministry, work, career, finances, whatever you want to touch on, whatever you think about. It's much better to let Christ operate through us. And that way, he gets the glory. See, I'm called by Christ. That's the truth. I'm capable through Christ. And here's the third point this morning. Oh, actually, I'll give you another scripture before I do that. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 4 to 5. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ. Through Christ. Through Christ. Before God, not that we are competent in ourselves. You see, that's where does our confidence come from? Our confidence and our competence, confidence and confidence comes from God through Christ. So number three, third point, last point, you are complete in Christ. You are complete in Christ. I love this. You're called by Christ. Capable through Christ, but I'm complete in Christ. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, God's divine power has given you everything you need. Everything you need. And I'm nearly out of time, but I've got to give you this story because I had to think hard about this and it's worth it. So who's seen the movie Jerry Maguire? All the young people go, what are you talking about? Well, you're shockers because that's M-rated, isn't it? So you shouldn't be watching those sorts of movies. But anyway, I read the book, by the way. I didn't watch the movie. But there's a few lines in that movie. I don't think there is a book, by the way. But there's a few lines in that movie that stuck out. I won't go there, but they stuck out a long way. And basically, one that I can remember, and you might know this one, it says, show me the money. See, there's lots of people who watch this movie. Show me the money. Now, Tom Cruise then goes in this room where his girl's in there, and there's all these women that hate men in there. And And he gives this speech to his girl. And at the end of the speech, he drops this line. And you might know this if you knew that one. You complete me. You complete me. And all the girls cry, and it's all lovey-dovey. But here's the deal. The girl says, you had me at hello. He does this big speech. You complete me. He says, oh, you had me at hello. But anyway, that's the way it is. But you know, what a great line that is. Tom Cruise, a terrific line there. But here's the deal. It's a good line, but it's bad application. Bad application. People don't complete us. People don't complete us. People don't complete you and me. So you can't rely on people to complete you in your life. The only one that complete you is the one that is God, that is Christ. We're complete in Christ. Jesus is the one. You see, even your spouse, as good or as bad or as ugly or as beautiful, doesn't matter. They can't complete us. Yes, we are one flesh. There's a one flesh relationship in union. They can't complete us. We can't. They're not going to be there for us every second of every day of every month. It's impossible. And it's too much responsibility on a person. We need to know that we are complete in Christ. Only then can we start to live in the confidence in Him. While we rely on other people, we're always going to fall over. We're always going to stuff up. Sometimes we think things that will complete us. We've got to have the big house, the big boat, the big car, the big bank account, the new toys. If I get my mortgage off, then I'll be happy, you know. And no, money and things and people don't complete you. The only thing we're going to know at the end of our days, we are complete in Christ. He completes us. He brings assurance. He brings us peace. He brings us rest. He brings us grace. He brings us mercy. He brings us love. He brings us joy. He brings us comfort. He brings us blessing. He brings His favor. Only He can complete us. You know, that word in the New Testament, it refers to a ship, and it means a ship that's fully manned, fully equipped to finish the journey, to get that to the destination. And if you think of it like this, you're the ship and Jesus is the captain. He'll go where He wants to go. He'll provide the winds to get us there. He knows every need on the way through, and He empowers the ship like we are complete in Christ. And yes, we're not good enough. We'll never measure up, really. We'll always miss the mark. That's true. We always will. But you know what? Just got to capture that thought and put it into submission to the Word of God, that I am capable by Christ. God loves me, and through that relationship, I become more than I could possibly become by myself. God loves me so much. You're called by Christ. You are capable through Christ, and you're complete in Christ. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. God, we thank You for the confirmation for us, God, that sometimes get in that place of thinking, I can't do it. I've got to give up. I'm not good enough. And God, this morning I pray Your word through Your Holy Spirit is starting to go deep into people's hearts and minds, God, to know You are good enough, God. Only through You will we be complete in our lives. That we can start to enter into the promises that You have for us, the purposes You have for us, the wonderful blessings and favor, the provision, God, in our lives. You see, as Christ followers, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You are more than conquerors through Christ who gives you strength. God is working in all things to bring about the good of those who love Him, called according to his purpose. Thank you for that promise, Jesus. You are not a victim. You are a victor in Christ. You are more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because of his goodness, you are blessed coming in and blessed going out. Your sin will not be held against you. You are a new creation. Inside of you lives the very same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Wow. Wow. You have the access to the very throne room of God. Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He's praying for you. Put your name in there at this moment. He's calling you. You are called. He is empowering you. You are capable through Christ. He's loving you. You are complete. Everything you need is available through Christ. Believe the truth. Believe the truth. Capture that lie. Believe who God says you are. Believe it. Now act on it. Start to act that way in the name of Jesus. And just one other group, I want to pray for you this morning. You know, maybe you've been in church lots. Maybe you haven't. Maybe it's your first time. Maybe you've sort of lived a Christian life, but you know what? You really haven't. You really haven't lived in Christ. You've lived in the world and just come to church. Maybe for you, it was just part of the way you did, family did life, you know? And something in you this morning yearns for more. I want more, God. I want to know you more. I want to be more in you. And here this morning is just a very simple thing, but it has eternal consequences. And I'm going to ask you, if you want to get right, get your life right with God, the starting point can be right here today. There's no coincidences in God that you're here. And maybe here this morning you go, you know what, Greg, you're right. Somehow I've got lost on the way through. And I want to start afresh here this morning. For the first time, or maybe for you, you've done it before. But right now, just where everyone's sitting with head down, eyes closed, here's an opportunity to get right with God. If that's you here this morning, just stick your hand out real quick and I'll acknowledge it. Is that you here this morning? Anyone here this morning that needs God, a fresh revelation of God, a fresh decision to follow God? Is that you? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for all that you're doing in each one of us, in our families, in our community, in our church, in our nation, God. God, we need you so much. God, we need you so much. God, help us hang on to those promises you have.
Thanks for listening to the message today brought to you by Baylife Church. We hope the message leaves you feeling challenged and inspired to live out your Christian walk. Please tune in again for next week's message.